Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this episode, Vera Songway, the first woman to head the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa, talks about closing the gender gap from the IMF World Bank annual meetings in Bali, Indonesia.
This is the most important gathering of economists and economic policymakers in the world, and I think this is the best place to come and find out what are the new disruptive thinking.
There is a growing body of research that shows more women in the labor force means higher economic growth and for longer periods. And while some sectors have made progress in breaking down gender barriers, the rise of technology in others presents new challenges for women. Vera Songway was the first woman to be appointed Executive Secretary of the UN's Economic Commission for Africa, or ECA, and talked to the IMF's Angela Gaviria in Bali. Another very special yet voiceless presence at the meetings was the bronze sculptor known as the Fearless Girl. The statue, normally in New York's financial district, depicts a girl facing a charging bull. Gaviria started by asking Songway about the significance of this statue.
First of all, I think many young girls are already fearless. So the image of the fearless young girl is, I think, the right representation. I think, however, with that fearlessness, you need a little bit of grit. You need some hard work, or a lot of hard work. Many people have heard me say this, but you also need opportunity. And I always say that with all hard work, you need a little bit of luck. But I think that as we begin to look at what are the challenges of getting more women into sort of positions, we realize that the most fundamental one is to get the young women at the very entry level. And so we really just need to grow the pipeline all the way from the bottom. And that means creating more opportunity and ensuring that we can go out there and mentor young women.
Do you see that happening more and more in Africa, for example? And I'm asking because looking at the numbers, Africa, in some countries, there is impressive progress in terms of gender equality. Rwanda, for example, is the fourth most equal country in terms of gender in the world. So when you look at the continent, why are some countries advancing faster than other countries?
I think the first issue is deliberate leadership. First, you have to acknowledge that there is a problem, and then you have to be deliberate about it. And I think that what we see in countries like Rwanda, in countries like Senegal, in countries like Ivory Coast, in countries like South Africa, is in Mauritania, where we had the first female mayor in the Arab world, is that the leaders are beginning to say, I think this is important, and I'm going to make space, I'm going to lead by example. So you have in many African countries now, presidents, prime ministers, getting women into positions of power, into positions of authority. Before, I think on the continent, we had most of the women as women of the women's ministry or the culture ministry. Now you have, I think, almost as many, and we are here at the IMF World Bank meetings, we have almost as many women ministers of finance, as many women ministers of development and economic planning on the continent as we've ever had. Probably the highest number of women are in sort of very strong positions. But we need to do more. We don't yet have enough women in central banks. But I think, you know, we also have to acknowledge that we've made a lot of progress, and then we're going to go forward. There's also some cultural barriers, but I think that, again, it's emulation. When you look at what's happening in Rwanda, or you look at what's happening in Cape Verde, then the woman in Mali says, why not me? Mm. So it empowers the women in the places where we have not made as much progress.
Absolutely. Is there one example or a couple of examples you can give us about what your organization is doing in this field?
Yes, what we're doing at the ECA, for example, is helping countries, first of all, just document what are the policies that you need to put in place. Mm-hmm. Then secondly, helping with South-South exchanges, because it's not enough to put the policies in place. Once you say women need to get into the legislature, then you need to help them build their skills as parliamentarians to represent their people. So ECA is also going out there and helping to see how can you do that. We're also working with women, for example, in the ICT space, in access to financial services, to say what is it that you need to put in place if you want women to get access to financial services. An important area that is not often spoken about is women in conflict areas. Mm-hmm. And those are women that are already, you know, left behind, but that suffer even more because they are in the situations of conflict. And so ECA is doing a lot of work on how do you bring economic empowerment to women in fragile, you know, in Darfur, the Horn of Africa, where we have a lot of civil unrest. You know, what do you do with these women, and how can we ensure that these women continue to have citizenship and civic rights and participation?
Okay, Welcome to Bali. Selamat datang di Bali. My name is Rosiana Silalahi, and I'll be the moderators for today's panel.
Today Song Wei also joined a panel on empowering women in the workplace with a focus on technology. Several very influential women joined the discussion, including the managing director of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, who took the opportunity to introduce a new IMF study on the impact on women of the increasing use of technology in the workplace.
How do you think this kind of change in technology will affect women, the automation and also the future work? How do you think this will affect women?
Well, it will affect all men and women. But what is characteristic and actually which is published in this research paper is that women will be affected more so than men. That's the key finding of this study. It's just that because of they often do tasks that are not as value-adding, they are more repetitive, they're more likely to be automated. And as a result of that, the jobs that they're doing are going to be affected first. Now, it's not a massive proportion, but yet again, it shows that despite new technologies, despite artificial intelligence, biotech, and all of that, the women will suffer more than men as a result. And our study concludes that women are at 11% risk of seeing their job dislocated, gone, whereas men are at a 9% risk. There's a very interesting study that has been done in this work, which extrapolates from 30 OECD countries where 26 million female jobs are likely to go. And if you extrapolate to a larger number of countries on a global basis, you're talking about 180 million jobs currently discharged by women that are at risk of dislocation disappearing because of technologies.
Yeah, we are going to talk also about what kind of new skills that be needed in the future. But let me get back to you, Ms. Song Wei. What are the challenges that developing countries face to bridge the digital gender gap?
I think the first one is about making the women that are already in the digital space more visible. Mm-hmm. And I think there are quite an amazing number of young women, African women, I was going to say, but young women globally that are in the digital space. And I think that once those women become visible, the younger ladies then say, I can actually do something different. So it's that decision that you see one person ahead and you say, I can do it too. And we can never underestimate, I think, the power of seeing Madame Lagarde heading the IMF and how many more young kids will be willing to do that. So I really think that that's the most important. Now, once we have done that, then the question becomes, how do we give them access to the technology to do that? And today we have 250 million less women that have access to any sort of IT or internet services in the world compared to men. So again, it's just making sure then that in the same geography, in the same environment, how come we have that many less women? On the continent, it's 27 million less women have access to technology than do men. A lot of this is about giving them access in an affordable way, in an accessible way, in a way that, so one, then they need financing to be able to get access to the internet and to be able to connect. And I think once you do that, then you begin to bridge that digital divide. An important statistic that comes out in the work that has come out also is the tech hubs. I think, at least on the continent, we've seen an explosion of tech hubs. About 5 years ago, there must have been about 140. Today, there are 442 tech hubs. Interestingly enough, almost over 30% of them are women that are starting doing these startups. But what we find, and I think this links with the discussion that we had before, is that a lot of the startups that are run by women are actually in the consumer care business. So it means that we are taking our ideas from doing childcare and working at home and transforming them into ideas that become marketable. And so it's actually, I think, quite a telling statistic. But then when you go the next step is once these women have invented these things, how can they get access to patents? And on the continent, particularly in Africa, the cost of patenting an idea is more prohibitive for women than it is for men. It's not more expensive by definition, but because the woman has always lower incomes. Mm. Okay. So what ends up happening is that when a woman has a great idea, she hands it over to a man that sort of takes it and then patents it and gets the benefit out of it. So when we think about all the big ideas, the big IPOs, we can think of IPOs that are launched every other day by men and not by women. So we also need to ensure that there is some access for women's ideas. We must be able to not just get the woman into work, but we must protect the woman's idea by policy. Okay. And I think that this is a very, very important point now on the continent, is how can we protect patents?
So in terms of legacy, imagine you're at the end of your term. What would make you proud after all those years that your organization has achieved?
I think first it would be great if another woman came after me so that it was no longer a first and only woman, and there's two women. But secondly, I think that what would make me the proudest is just that, you know, over time, we see that Africa is becoming a lot more prosperous and that there is a lot more women in positions of decision making than they are today. But it's first prosperity of the continent. And I think that is what ECA does, is work to provide alternative models for development so that we can increase our GDP per capita and get a more prosperous Africa.
That was Vera Songwe, head of the Economic Commission for Africa, speaking to the IMF's Angela Gaviria in Bali during the 2018 IMF World Bank annual meetings. Webcasts of the seminars at those meetings are posted at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts, and you can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast.